Acharya is one who teaches according to time and circumstance how to do that. After all, Krishna says in the Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, surrender to me. He doesn't say learn Sanskrit. He doesn't say abandon all varieties of religion and learn Sanskrit. He says abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Huh? So it is by surrendering to Krishna that we can understand what is the truth of the Gita. And if we know Sanskrit, that is wonderful. We could read the original purifying words of the Gita. But factually, we chant the Sanskrit so that subtle purification is there even if you don't understand it when you chant the mantra. Huh? But the understanding comes through the words of the Acharyas. And from that understanding, we learn how to apply the Gita to our life. And by doing that, we surrender. And through that process only can we come to Krishna.
So it is
the difference really of approaching the Gita, the reading of the Gita, as a ritualistic ceremony, or approaching it as a blessed opportunity given by God to transform our whole lives into His loving service. If one is seeking the latter of the two, then Srila Prabhupada's English translations are perfect and complete with their purports. If we are simply looking for a ritualistic ceremony, then original Sanskrit is best. Why even Hindi? Original Sanskrit is best. Without the purports of the Acharyas, you cannot understand the Gita even if it's in your own language. Who? Because if you want to understand Gita, you have to not just read it, you have to follow it. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya vidu bhakto sime shakachitri rahasyam hetadutamam. Krishna says that this knowledge is coming through disciplic succession and one must hear it from a proper authority in disciplic succession. Such a guru, one must humbly submit oneself, inquire submissively, and render service. And only by one who accepts this position of a devotee can understand the real mysteries of the Gita. Now Krishna says this, so they can study it, and they can say it, but unless they do it, they can never understand it. Krishna says that himself. Bhaktosime sakachiti rahasyam hetadutamam. That this Bhagavad Gita is a great mystery. Because you are my friend and devotee, Arjuna, you can understand it. No one else can understand it in its essence.
Here it says, Prabhupada says in the purport that Bhagavad Gita gives all the essence of the scriptures plus something more. But he also says that this is schooling. After that, the Bhagavatam is the graduation, isn't it?
Yes.
And you are mentioning that it ends at the point of surrender. That means it does not contain the highest knowledge. Why is it considered to be the...
He's talking about in relationship to the other great scriptures of the various religions of the world. The Bible, the Quran, the Dharma, Dhammapada, all the great, the Upanishads, the four Vedas. These are the common scriptures throughout the world that people of various religious orders are reading and studying and following. So he is explaining here that amongst those scriptures, Gita contains everything plus something more.
Mm.
But the Bhagavatam is the Paramhamsa Samhita. Bhagavatam is for the Paramhamsas. It is the extract of the essence of the highest realizations of the truth. So he is referring to the common scriptures of the basic scriptures of the great religions of the world that people study.
Will the great acharyas interpret some of the verses, like we see in some Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they interpret so many ways. So is it the realization, and also we can see Mayavadis, they also interpret some of the verses in their own way. So what is the difference between interpreting it on both the acharyas? Like how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur indirectly tells something about some lila or any verses. Is there realization?
Two things. One is, whatever Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is substantiated by other Puranas and other Shastras. And the conclusions of what he speaks is all completely supported by the Siddhanta of the Bhagavatam and of the Gita. So he may explain things in further detail, but it is never an interpretation. It is a realization. And how do we know it's a realization? Because it doesn't in any way contradict the conclusions of pure bhakti, pure surrender, and pure devotion. What he does is, either through his own divine revelations or through citing various other shastras in cross-reference, he just gives us deeper details of the story, but he never interprets the story. He never gives us a different conclusion. Whereas those who are not properly and perfectly situated in parampara, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was, they will give us their own conclusions, their own interpretations of what something means. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur never tells us something, what something means, apart from what the previous acharyas have said and what the Shastra says. But sometimes he just gives, in line with that understanding, very, very deep, wonderful, nectarine details. Huh? So therefore it is not an interpretation. It is simply an elaboration. There is a difference. An elaboration that is perfectly in line with the Siddhanta of the Parampara is authorized. But anything that is not in line, that is unauthorized. Various acharyas often differ in details. And out of Vaishnava etiquette, we should respect all of them. Just like there are differences in details between Srila Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavat, and some of our others, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev. But we respect all of them, because there's no difference in the conclusions. Because according to their particular, even in the spiritual world, according to your particular rasa with Krishna, you're going to view details about Krishna different. Are you not? But at the same time, the conclusion that we are all working together for the love and the service of Krishna, that is the same. And even within the same rasa, Sri Radharani and Chandravali, they do not agree on the best way to serve Krishna. They have different ideas of how to serve Krishna. but they're in perfect harmony because they're both accept that the enjoyment of Krishna is the supreme perfection of life. So in this way, various acharyas sometimes have different explanations, but the conclusion is always one and the same. And therefore, there's really no difference. And a neophyte devotee can become bewildered by these apparent differences, but an advanced devotee simply understands in his maturity that these are just different rasas that such liberated souls are experiencing with the Lord. Just like Sripad Vallabhacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, they disagreed with Vallabhacharya in certain points. Huh? But Srila Prabhupada explains they are both Nitya Siddha Paramahamsas of the highest order. We must give all respects and obeisances to all of them. But at that time, Vallabhacharya was in the Vatsalya Rasa and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was immersed in the Leela of Madhurya Rasa. So therefore they had different... And Srila Sridhar Swami sometimes interprets the Bhagavatam in such a way that it borderlines apparent impersonalism. Huh? And therefore, because of that, Vallabhacharya rejected Sridhar Swami's commentary. That was his consciousness. And I must reject it because it could be misleading. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was demonstrating the quality of Trinarapi Sunichina, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. The essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole life was his humility. And therefore he accepted that Sridhar Swami is a previous acharya. He's a very esteemed, highly great person. And although it may be like this or maybe like that, we can understand what he's really saying, but we must offer all respects to him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just followed this principle of etiquette so carefully out of humility. Where another was thinking, why this etiquette? This man, it could be misleading to people. Huh? So in this way, they had two completely different opinions of Sridhar Swami. But yet, the conclusion of both of them was the same, to enunciate pure devotional service. So who's right and who's wrong? Huh? They're both right. But of course we accept within our parampara the superiority of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of utter humility. But they are both correct. Mahaprabhu said you're like a prostitute. And some of our neophyte devotees have gone to Vallabha's followers and said that, you see what Mahaprabhu has said? That Swami means a father? He is the original commentator of the Bhagavatam? If you don't respect the husband, Swami means husband. If you don't respect husband, you are like prostitute. But Prabhupada became very angry. You do not understand. You do not understand that this is a leela between two Vaishnavas of the highest order. They have different moods, different rasas with Krishna, but still they are of the highest order. We should not think one right, one wrong. Huh? So although there is differentiation, there must be given total respect and obeisances to both. Because their conclusion was the same. Sri Krishna Sharanam, to surrender to Krishna.
Similarly, we may hear Prabhupada in his tapes saying that the Bible is a non-secret scripture. It doesn't say, it says the earth is square or something like that, the earth is flat. Quran is not scripture, or the Muslims, he may have said something like that. So, similarly,
you have heard him say like this?
No, in one
In other words, you have to understand you cannot take something out of context. To make a certain point, sometimes you present something a certain way. The Prabhupada explains that the Bible and the Quran are the authorized, revealed words of God according to that time and circumstance. But the Vedas are not according to time and circumstance. The Vedas present Sanatana Dharma in the universal presentation. Bhagavad Gita is not according to time and circumstance. The whole truth is spoken in full. Time and circumstance means you present it a certain way and only certain proportions according to certain people. With the Bhagavat and the Gita, they are not such time and circumstance scriptures. They are universal for all men at all times, giving the pure, highest truth. That is the difference. And that is how Prabhupada explains it. But at certain times, to make a certain point, sometimes you present things accordingly. But we have to have the maturity to understand what is really meant. To have contempt for those books is to have contempt for Krishna, who is the speaker of those books. He is speaking those books out of his mercy to certain people at certain times to elevate them. Huh? How could we contempt the very God which we are worshipping and loving? Prabhupada has said that Jesus Christ was a Shakti Vaishavatar and a pure devotee. So to have contempt for his words is Vaishnava Aparad. So we should honor and respect. But our adherence is to the words of our own Guru Parampara. We are not so much interested in studying these other books. If our Gurudev within our Parampara wants to present it that way, we will hear from him. But on our own, we want to continue a very loyal, one-pointed study and adherence to our own Guru Parampara and the scriptures that are recommended by our own predecessor acharyas. Prabhupada said, all avatars ultimately are coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all avatars. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. There is avatar and avatari. Avatari means he who from whom all avatars emanate.
Depending on one's realization also, the purpose may differ. Like for example, the Ramayana. So one level, you know, one who are just fruitive active work, fruitive workers, they might just derive that, you know, service to father is the greatest. You can derive depending on one level of realization. Later you realize that Dasharatha was actually a devotee of Krishna and he was fulfilling that. But once it is in a parampara, and if he is repeating the words of parampara, automatically this is overcome. The level of realization doesn't
change. Krishna says in Gita, Traiguna Nishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna Nirdvandva Nitya Shatvashto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. That means that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. Which means the Vedas mainly deal with trying to make a person more pious. Karma Kanda. Most Vedas are Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Ubhashana Kanda. So what is the Karma Kanda of the Vedas? Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. Trying to elevate you to come closer to God for the purpose of attaining wealth. fulfilling your desires for sense gratification, acting very piously, nobly, virtually, and ultimately attaining liberation. Most Vedas deal with this. They don't deal with pure devotional service. And books like Ramayana and Mahabharata have all of them. Pure devotional service is there. But also Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha is there for those. So according to who you're hearing it from, they're going to extract that aspect. If you are hearing the Ramayana from a pure devotee of the Lord, in an authorized parampara of pure devotees of the Lord, he's going to make reference that how to extract the essence of pure devotional service through every passage of the Ramayana, because it's there. But someone who is preaching the Ramayana from the point of view of Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha, generally such a person is not in an authorized parampara, but is receiving from other teachers, not in a parampara, or using his own intellect to extract the meanings of the various passages. So such a person will see that this is the conclusion. To be pious, to have a good family, to be loyal to father, that is the supreme goal. So it is all there. And in Mahabharata, even we find Vedavyasa telling the story different in Mahabharata than he tells in Srimad Bhagavatam. So many times he tells different stories about the same incident. Because in Mahabharata, the essence of Mahabharata is the Gita. Gita is teaching pure devotional service. But most of the Mahabharata is Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. So therefore he's explaining things in a certain way. In the Bhagavatam he explains the Pandavas in their very same bodies went back to Godhead. But in the Mahabharata he explains how they went to the heavenly planets. Because people reading Mahabharata are generally materially minded karmakandis. They don't want to surrender everything and go back to Godhead. They want to attain the heavenly planets. They want sense gratification. So therefore he's explaining, this is how you can attain that. See, the Pandavas did it. But in Srimad Bhagavatam he says, Pandavas didn't care for any of these things, they went back to Godhead. Now perhaps they stopped in the heavens on the way back to Godhead. Mahabharata, he only goes that far, says, you see? But Srimad Bhagavatam, he doesn't even waste time talking about that stop, because devotees aren't interested in it. Do you understand? So in this way, unless we hear from an authorized devotee in the line of parampara, then we will become very bewildered by the various apparent contradictions in the Vedic literatures. I mean, in one place, we read about devotees who just completely renounce their families and take sannyas. And in another place we read about people who the ultimate perfection of their religiosity is being obedient to their father, even though their father is materialistic to some extent. They're both there in the Vedas. For those who require to become more pious and obedient, one instruction is given, and for one who wants to attain the level of surrender to the absolute truth, another instruction is given. So it appears like a contradiction. But the great acharyas and those who are following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, they explain why it's like this. Therefore Krishna tells Arjuna that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. You should reject them all and just be established in the self. Just surrender to me. And that is why Srila Prabhupada, although for reference the Mahabharata and these other scriptures are very wonderful. They are authorized. But he said, but we are not very concerned with these scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Gita take us right to the essence. Every story brings us right to the essence. So he said these other scriptures are not very important for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And even Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. So many people, professional reciters, interpret it in so many ways. Although the Bhagavatam completely rejects the concept of caste consciousness. Although in Mahabharata and Ramayana, there is to some extent credibility given to this idea of caste consciousness. But ultimately it discredits it. But Srimad Bhagavatam, just Lord Kapila Dev speaks very strongly. Aho bata swapa chotogariyam. Even if one is a dog eater, a chandala, if he chants the holy names, he can be guru for the whole universe. But even if one is a Brahmin, decorated with all the 12 qualifications of a Brahmin, he cannot even deliver himself if he's not a humble devotee chanting God's names. But some big scholarly preachers of the Bhagavatam preach the Bhagavatam for years and years and years, they still are very attached to this idea of caste consciousness. Unless you are from certain caste, unless you are born in country of India, how can you understand these things? Huh? Why is that? Simply because they have not heard from a proper parampara. Therefore, these inner meetings are just not revealed to them, although they're studying the scripture of the Bhagavatam day and night, and they're speaking of it for their whole lives through. So that is why this conception of parampara is so important in our lives. Any comments, Swamiji?